Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope you're feeling good. Thank you for joining us here on the morning show, 8:06 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you, and we're joined right now by our good friend, Mr. Paul Trombley from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Yes, good morning.
How's it going over there, Paul?
Going well. How about for you guys?
You were doing good. You know, it's blue skies today.
Yes, yeah. Been kind of a rare thing. So
Have we seen any kind of release or bit of a break from the fires, from the hazy skies we've been getting a little more up north in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we have been starting to see some of that smoke in the atmosphere thinning out here as of late now.
Good to hear. So. Good to hear.
Yeah.
What else has Mother Nature got in store, Paul?
You know, it looks like, along with some sunshine and blue skies out there today, we're going to continue to get our way up to some highs well in the 80s here the rest of the week. Highs today about 86 with winds out of the east about 5 to 10. 59 and clear tonight, and then more upper 80s Wednesday and Thursday, sunny and dry both days. Overnight low is still hitting them up back to about the upper 50s, around 60 through Wednesday and Thursday night. And then more of the same here, upper 80s Friday, sunshine. Weekend temp still pushing about 90 on Saturday. Saturday will be our first opportunity of a few showers or storms edging into the area. Looks like Saturday night could be the chances of picking up here for us. And then into Sunday, some of those showers and storms in the forecast. Going from about 90 Saturday, 83 with some of the showers, a few storms Sunday, and even cooling to about mid-70s Monday. A few showers still possible into that start of next week with a cooler temperatures to start things off. But definitely dry several days here before we see that first chance of rain coming our way Saturday night coming up in that weekend.
I knew I should have called you this morning before I got dressed. Why did I wear leggings today? Well, tell me that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you'll be ready the rest of the week now.
See?
You'll be prepared. Yeah.
Paul, I don't want to keep you too long, but our opening article today in our show is going to be about ChatGPT, and I've been thinking about this, and I think that you and your team over there are one of those jobs that you don't have to worry about.
No, you're solid.
I think you guys are solid as far as the ChatGPT and this stuff goes. I think you guys are going to be okay. It might be the one industry that isn't affected, but I think it's going to be you guys are going to be all right.
Yeah, we hope we're hopeful anyway. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Paul. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks. Best in the business right there. Our good friend Paul Trombley from the WeatherEye Weather Center joins us every morning at the 8 o'clock hour.
No ChatGPT is going to have that personality.
Nope. we're going to get into that in a moment, actually. And we're going to talk about from the office of the mayor. We have for our city, Wisconsin Rapids, Independence Day all planned out. So we're going to talk about that in a moment, too. A little bit later, we're going to get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. I want to talk to Melissa about a overdue book. not mine, but somebody else's. We'll get into that. The number one way to sound smarter during small talk. I'm going to be taking extensive notes during that.
Same.
9 o'clock hour will feature a little bit of entertainment news. We'll get into some of that and write stories, good stories of the day, and more fun. And of course, we're open to taking your phone calls. Join the conversation. It's Melissa, myself, and you hosting the show. Call up 424-2600. We're looking for your favorite dairy products. We were talking a little while ago about camping. Where's your favorite place to camp? What's your favorite part about camping?
Yes.
All the above. Rolling poll questions. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll do it.
Campfires.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
There is something about sitting around a campfire.
So right.
When there's no bugs and there's a nice breeze and the smoke is blowing away from you.
I never really did the campfire songs. I didn't grow up around campfires. It wasn't until like late teenager that I got around campfires and everything in high school.
Found a peanut. You never heard that one?
No. Ah. That's a found a peanut?
Yeah. Okay, there's verses upon verses upon verses for that song. Right. Yeah, I'll tell you the saga sometime.
I'm looking forward to it. 424-2600, your favorite camping songs. How about that? We'll throw that one out there, too. What's your favorite camping songs? Learn me some camping songs, everybody, because I don't know. And that way I'll be all prepared when I do finally camp.
There you go.
I'll have the songs all set and ready to go. I don't think that a ChatGPT would be very good around a campfire. I don't think it would hold up very well.
No, probably not.
This big fear and this big concern through society about the creative world and how it is going to be affected by ChatGPT. The idea that a computer can do an artist's job.
Yeah.
We've seen this in recent times, in recent years, we've seen it with art, where they've drawn paintings or portfolio shots of people. And that's where people got really freaked out.
Yes.
Because it looks so artistic. But then we heard ChatGPT trying to do like news articles or...
write songs.
Yeah. And not so much. Not nearly the same thing.
Or carry on a conversation without turning completely dark.
I genuinely, like right now, have no fear of this whatsoever. And I don't even really fear it another 10, 20 years from now. I don't feel like you're ever going to get an AI system that can give you the human element. Mm-hmm. It's like literally impossible for the computer to get a human element. It's not human. It can't give you. You can program it all you want with like old references from the 80s and different, you know, idioms and stuff. And it's still not going to be able to hit on those like a human being would.
No, it's not going to come up with something new.
The computer is designed on the human brain, and we've already kind of gone here already. We've had AI. We've had all this for forever. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily something that I think should scare us. I do think, though, it is great comedy. I do find a lot of humor in it. Not mm-hmm. as much for writers. I understand the fear of this in the writing world. Mm-hmm. But I don't know anybody in the writing world that genuinely believes when it comes to the writer's strike, these producers are going to make a movie based on a ChatGPT script. Like, do you understand how hesitant producers are to give green lights? Even though it may look like when you see a movie, wow, why did they green light a movie based on the Battleship board game? Why would they ever do that? Well, at the time, it seemed like a good idea. You know? And certainly I hear you if you're saying, well, they could just as easily say that about a ChatGPT script. Nope. Because they don't have the biggest thing that a producer wants. One of the biggest things a producer wants, obviously a star, obviously a hit. Outside of those things, give me a fall guy. Give me a fall guy. Give me somebody else to blame. Mm-hmm. And if you got nothing but computers, that ain't going to work. You can't think of it. It ain't going to work.
It was the computer's fault, man.
Who loses their job when John Carter costs Disney over $680 million? Not a computer. Those writers have been trying to find a hard find work since. It's those are the fall guys, and those are the people that producers want, because they're not going to lose their jobs. It's just like your business. If you mess up, they're not going to fire your boss. You get fired. Mm-hmm. So it's also part of the issue with writer's guilt with that. But I don't have any fear of this, and I don't see that day coming anytime soon. You can go ahead and play this back at me if I'm wrong 2 weeks from now. But it is interesting to see this diving into more elements and more fields. And it has dove into our field, Melissa.
Mm.
So there is a, if it feels like we just heard this was coming and it's already here, the first AI radio host hit the airwaves last week.
Ooh.
Its name is AI Ashley. It's based on a real host named Ashley Elzinga at a station in Portland, Oregon. Shout out to 95.5 FM out there. They cloned her voice for it. A company called Radio GPT went viral in March for a bot that can play songs, take calls, and read the news. They claimed it wouldn't be stealing people's jobs, and the good news is that's still the case. That's a lie. This is being designed to get rid of radio DJs. This has been the case forever. Back when I first started in radio, you did a lot of live work, but you did some voice tracking. Mm-hmm. You know, you did a... I would go into the station and it would take me about an hour, maybe, once I got it down, to voice track for about 6 to 8 hours. That saved the company a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, all of our surrounding markets, the majority of them, the overwhelming majority of them are all voice recorded. There is mm-hmm. not a live person in that booth. Maybe for your mornings, but not so much around.
Right.
This has been going on for a long time, but this is it hurts radio announcers, but not companies.
Right.
Companies save quite a few bucks on that. Oh, I can get 8 hours of material out of somebody for only an hour? Done. They've been doing
any way to cut corners.
It's part of how radio survived, to be honest, too. Mm-hmm. It's a mixed bag.
Right.
So that's already been going on. And the bad news is it sounds like it's being used to squeeze even more work out of the real Ashley. They say it'll let her, quote, multitask like never before. They're doing a hybrid situation where traditional Ashley will host some of the segments, then AI Ashley, who sounds almost identical, will host others. She's been featured from 10 to 3 each day. When AI Ashley is on, the real Ashley will be doing things like community outreach, managing social media, working on digital assets, etc. They say the real Ashley's job isn't in jeopardy and that they'll still be paid the same. They're also not hiding the fact that it's a robot. It always refers to itself on air as AI Ashley. The question is, will people really want to listen and interact with a robot? The real Ashley posted some videos of her fake self in action, including one where it tells a listener that they won free Taylor Swift tickets. There's also been talk of using the new tech to translate shows into other languages so that they could be heard overseas. The guys who created it think having a robot co-host could be a thing eventually, too. So I just want to play, before we get any feedback on this, Melissa, I want to play Ashley's bit here.
Today, I go from just Ashley to AI Ashley. So let's see how close the AI sounds to me. Today, I go from just Ashley to AI Ashley. Let's see how close the AI sounds to me. That's crazy. Yeah.
So we're listening for it, so it's a little harder to tell, but it is pretty obvious without the emotion, without the inflections.
Well, and it cuts off, because it's what it's taking is, you know, her voice and picking and choosing from different sentences that she said and mashing them together. You can tell that it's not a real person, mm-hmm. but her voice quality is the same. But my question is, how much did she get paid to voice track? How much does she get? Does she get anything going forward for that? That's her voice.
And now the company, everything she records, everything that AI is doing, the company owns. So if they fire Ashley, they can still use Ashley's voice.
Right.
I mean,
so where's the protection then for her vocal talent?
There's I don't pretend that this is any different now than when we were kids, but the way that the world kind of treats artists and creatives, like, does anybody
remember? Need you until we don't need you anymore.
Yeah, it's one of these things where it's a very twisted kind of way of treating a person or an industry or a field
for creativity.
And that's all well and good, but good luck when you have no entertainment. And all you've got is ChatGPT this and ChatGPT that and these things. Like,
sounds
good luck.
Like a dark, colorless world to me.
Yeah, that's exactly where it goes if this wins. Now, that doesn't have to happen, though. People just got to speak up. People just got to let these, you got to let higher ups know. It is no different than when you are voting and you want to let, hey, Mr. Politician, listen to me. Mm-hmm. You got to do the same thing with any industry. If we're talking movies, we're talking music, we're talking radio, we're talking anything. Mm-hmm. You got to go to the tops. You got to go to the top and let your voice be heard. Emails, calls, all of that. That is how you get heard. And that is how these things don't happen. Now, there's also, the audience will speak for themselves. If this is something they like,
yeah,
that's the way that we go. That is the audience wins here. It's not about what I want. It's about what the audience is wanting. And to me, that they'll let us know.
And that's something that, too, they can let their voices know. Let the people that you appreciate and know about that are doing these jobs say, hey, I like what you're doing. You're doing a great job. I have a lot of voice actors that I listen to on audiobooks, and I want to reach out to them and just say thank you. You know, your voice entertains me every time I listen to you. And that's not something that you can, I'm not going to tell a computer that. I mean, I might speak to inanimate objects sometimes. Actually, I do it quite often, but we won't discuss that on air. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you and being grateful for the technology that makes our lives easier. But there's a lot to be said for the creators of these arts.
Agreed. Very well said. Coming up next, Misty's Mini Birthday. Oh, God. Sorry, everybody. That I don't know what happened there. I'm trying to fix this. All right.
Please destroy that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was really bad. Roll that out of here. That was really weird.
It doesn't even look like you.
that was by design. Coming up, we got Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. Going to do some celebrating with Melissa and James coming up on the morning show at WFHR.
Hi, this is Garth Brooks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Not all of you are singing.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Brooks. Thank you, Garth. Woo-hoo. Very nice of you to join us today. Good. Well, that was really fun. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club is the segment, and we encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Let them know that we're celebrating them and celebrating the day and appreciate our good friends over there.
Oh, yeah. Have some pie.
Get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want them. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. You can, of course, direct message us on Facebook as well. And really, you can hood up any of our team here, get us those birthdays or anniversaries, and we'll get them on the list.
Yes, indeed.
We have one name today, so we get to put the spotlight on Amber Lynn.
Amber Lynn, happy birthday.
We hope it's a great day for you, Amber. Enjoy it. Hope it's a good one.
You're our automatic qualifier.
Yeah, just slide right into the qualifying spot. No trouble at all. We take a look at some celebrity birthdays today, and Christopher Mintz-Plasse is 34. He is McLovin and Superbad, and he was in the Kick-Ass movies and Neighbors. He's a good actor. He's a good actor. I like him.
Oh, yeah, I think I recognize him.
I saw him in an interview on Lebatard the other a couple weeks ago or whatever, because he's a big Boston fan. And he has not aged that much. I like him with glasses. Yeah, all right. He's really down. Like, talk about somebody who's really got his feet on the ground, mm-hmm. really appreciative of. He gets people calling him McLovin all the time, and he just embraces it, you know.
He was in Perfect Pitch. Or Pitch Perfect, sorry.
Oh, was it? Okay. Grace Potter is 40. She and her indie band Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, one of my favorite names for a band. That's such a great name. She rocked on her cover of White Rabbit for the Almost Alice concept album.
Ooh.
It's really good. She's got another song, Never Go Back, I think it's called. She's got a couple of songs that I really like. Good singer-songwriter.
Check that out.
Definitely one of those ones that I'm a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Porter is 42, voice winner and the little girl who played Curly Sue.
Oh.
My sister loved that movie. I remember that movie. I hadn't even really thought about what happened to that little girl. I guess we know. Tika Sumpter is 43. Michelle Obama in South Side With You. She also is in Ride Along movies and the star of Owns the Haves and the Have Nots. Let's see.
Haven't seen any of those.
Yeah. Chuck Wicks is 44. Country singer who was on Dancing with the Stars and Julian Hough. With Julian Hough, I believe. One of the greatest directors of all time, in my opinion. Robert Rodriguez is 55 today. He directed Machete, Sin City, From Dusk Till Dawn, Desperado, Spy Kids movies. Robert Rodriguez has done a ton of amazing work in his time, and where him and Quentin Tarantino kind of got their start at the same time, and a lot of people looked at Quentin and never really talked about Robert Rodriguez, I think it's come around the other way now, where most people kind of, Quentin Tarantino has turned into a bit of a one-trick pony kind of director.
Okay,
if it doesn't have blood and gore, what is he?
Yeah.
You know, if it isn't that, if it isn't insulting dialogue or degrading women, what is he really doing? Whereas Robert Rodriguez has evolved as a director and only gotten better and better.
Because as you look at his, the films that he's made, it's all the Dusk Till Dawn, Machete, you know, Mariachi, Desperado, and Spy Kids.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing.
And that's weird. Planet Terror.
He wanted to do movies that his kids could see.
Uh-huh.
And so he started doing the Spy Kids movies. Robert Rodriguez has one of my favorite stories. His first directing job, he was filming his high school football team. And he got fired after one game. Because the reason they're doing this is so that they could watch the footage. So the players can learn what plays work, what don't, what defenses do, and study them.
Mm-hmm.
But what Robert did was quarterback steps back. His arm cocks. And then Robert, as he puts the ball in the air, Robert flips, and then edit goes to the kids' parents and the looks on their faces and all this. And then you flip back to the ball going into the receiver's hands and touchdown and all this. And it was like a movie, which was great, but not what they wanted. He got fired right away. Never thought he'd work for a day in his life. He also, all he ever wanted, just like all I ever wanted as an actor, was to be in the Screen Actors Guild. So just as young, when he was a kid, he wanted to be in the Directors Guild. He gets the opportunity to do the Sin City graphic novels in two movies, something that people are going to Frank Miller for over 20 years for. But he has his studio. He films a scene. He gets Josh Hartnett, and he pays him a little scale, and they film a scene just for Frank Miller, just to be able to show him what he wants to do, taking his from the page to the screen.
Yeah.
And he tells Frank, everybody's been trying to do this, but I want you to be directed with me. That nobody said that to Frank Miller. And he's like, okay, well, let's do this. The Directors Guild, no, you can't do that. That Frank Miller's not a director. You can't do that. So instead of just throwing it out the window, Robert Rodriguez tears up his Directors Guild card. His dream as a kid, but just because this is the way they make the movie. It's the art. That's what comes first. Not my dreams, not what I want. This is what makes this happen. And so he did it. And I don't know how you... I can't imagine what that must be like. I can't imagine tearing up my Screen Actors Guild card. It's just incredible to me. I think that that's so weird. And it worked. You can miss me on this. There has never been a better graphic novel to movie from page to screen than Sin City. Mm-hmm. It has never been done better and may never be done better.
Yeah. Well, and then they had the Sin City A Dame to Kill for.
Yeah, they were able to make the sequel. Yeah, which was really good, too.
Mm-hmm. But he did really switch over to the kids' movies then. Spy Kids 2, We Can Be Heroes, Shorts.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch Machete Kills in Space, though.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I haven't seen that one. But Desperado is a action classic. Some of the action scenes in that are some of the more beautiful action scenes you will ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman is 56 today. Fantastic actress.
Oh, yeah.
Quite the career. And coming back more now. She's working again more.
Yeah, she was gone for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah, took a break, it looked like, and then just started doing some more work.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Tyminski is 56, country singer who did George Clooney's singing voice on Man of Constant Sorrow in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's a good voice. It's a good voice. John Taylor is 63, Duran Duran's bassist. And another bassist born in this day, Michael Anthony, 69, Van Halen's bassist.
Van Halen.
Yeah. John Goodman is 71, Chicago's own. Mr. Dan Connor on Roseanne. Wow. Walter in The Big Lebowski.
He 71.
He was also in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, John Goodman. One of the few darker roles John Goodman has played. Hasn't gotten to play a lot of bad guys.
I think he's done a few more in his later years here, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I have no journalistic integrity with John Goodman. I love John Goodman. I would do anything to, for John Goodman if he asked me to. If he walked in this room right now and told me to say something on the air, I would say it. Big fan of Mr. Goodman.
Yeah, I loved his voiceover work in The Emperor's New Groove. Oh,
yeah, good call. I forgot about that.
Such a good movie.
Good call, yeah. We mentioned this on our Sunrise show from 7 to 8. You can join us. Lionel Richie is 74 today. All Night Long, Hello, Endless Love. So many. Bob Vila is 77.
Wow.
This old house from 1979 to 1989 was one of my one of those go-to shows. If you were flipping through the channels and you came upon This Old House, talk about a precursor show. Like now, you've got a whole network designed for that.
Yeah, they've completely blown out of the water with the HGTV type.
I never thought
flip
about
houses
that.
And the house remodels and the no, but Bob Vila, that's where to go.
I never thought about that, but what a way ahead of the curve kind of show. And I don't think a lot of people knew that Bob Vila, Cuban American.
Really?
Cuban American.
No,
yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah, we mentioned also on our Sunrise show earlier this morning, Anne Murray is 78. Her song Songbird made her the first Canadian woman to have a track and number one hit in the U.S. That's quite the thing to have on your resume. It's pretty cool. The great Brian Wilson, born in this day, 81 years old for the Beach Boys mastermind. Good Vibrations, I Get Around, Wouldn't It Be Nice. He's been deaf in his right ear his whole life. He has had quite the interesting life and quite a bit he has been vulnerable with, too, which I've admired. We look at some people no longer with us. A couple of legendary actors. Olympia Dukakis, born in this day in 1931, passed away in 2021. Won Best Supporting Actress Oscar for playing Cher's mom in Moonstruck. She also starred with the late Danny Aiello and John Mahoney. And interestingly, their birthdays are today, too.
Oh, wow.
Chicago's own John Mahoney, born in 1940, passed away in 2018. Frasier's dad on Frasier, one of the founding members of Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago, who, mind you, is the Broadway of the Midwest. Like, if you told me, hey, James, Steppenwolf Theater will take you, I might be out, everybody. I might go. I just might. That, to me, is one of my dreams, is to perform at Steppenwolf, to be on that stage. John Mahoney, one of the founders of that, along with Mesha Taylor and Gary Sinise and John Malkovich. Those guys, they used to steal toilet paper from like businesses the next door, just so that when audiences came to their plays, there was toilet paper in the and now it's the Broadway of the Midwest. It's just impressive. It doesn't happen without the great John Mahoney. Also, you ever go back and watch old Frasier bits, episodes of Frasier? Watch John Mahoney's limp. It never changes. It's the same, and he did not walk with a limp. It's miraculous to me. I've studied it so intensely, and it just is the exact same every time. It's just incredible. And the great Dan Aiello, one of the greatest character actors of all time. His famous line in Godfather 2, Michael Corleone says hello. It was an ad-lib. That was an ad-lib. Danny Aiello has worked with all the greatest directors because everybody loves Danny Aiello, or loved Danny Aiello, and loved working with him. He was born in 1933, passed away in 2019. And country legend Chet Atkins, born in this day in 1924, passed away in 2001. Country legend, Mr. Wow. Atkins.
Yes.
And the great Martin Landau, born in 1928, passed away in 2017. He won a Best Supporting Oscar for playing Bela Lugosi in Ed Wood in 1995, and I to this day feel very guilty for that because I was so angry. Samuel Jackson was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Pulp Fiction, and nobody in their right mind would think that anybody did a better job that year than Samuel L. Jackson. But Martin Landau was getting older, and everybody in the world felt like he deserved an Oscar, so they finally gave him one. But it shouldn't have been at the cost of Samuel L. Jackson, who has still not been nominated for anything since.
Yeah.
I mean, you do right by somebody early on, and then you don't have to worry about this stuff. So, I don't know. I really enjoyed Mr. Landau's career. I think he is one of the OGs of acting. Mission Impossible, OG at the very least.
Mm-hmm. North by Northwest.
Oh, North by Northwest. His performance in North by Northwest. Everybody's performance in North by Northwest. Everybody's. God, I love that movie. Crazy movie. One more time, I want to wish Amber Lynn a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Amber.
Enjoy your day, Amber. Hope it's a good one for you. Mm-hmm. Stick around for Melissa's News, and we're going to encourage you to head on over to Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back to this morning show, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Melissa and James here with you. Little Black Crowes to get us back into the segment. It's my favorite Black Crowes song, actually, Good Friday. It's a good one. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try some here.
Okay.
C is for cookie and cookie is for me.
Yum, 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 yum.
That's not a very good Cookie Monster.
That was pretty good.
It was okay. Yeah. Cookie, cookie. I it sounds more like Arnold. It sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger tried to do a Cookie Monster. I love the cookie. Get in the chopper. this is why you need writers. This is what happens. So I thought this was an interesting thing that I saw just about a week or so. Actually, a couple weeks ago, Alabama governor signed into legislation naming Yellowhammer cookie as the official state cookie.
Oh, what's a Yellowhammer cookie?
It's a great question. It's part of what got me interested in the article and everything. And I never really found out, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But it did send me down a rabbit hole and get me thinking, well, what about other states?
Okay.
And what about, do we have a state cookie here in Wisconsin and that kind
we
of
should,
thing?
We should delve into that. But first I want to say Yellowhammer cookie is probably a good name for a beer.
Ooh, it is.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what I think of when I hear that title.
I think that you may have just like given them a nice spinoff. I think they may have just gotten a nice spinoff. So I looked into this, and I came across BakeMag.com. It's a baking magazine website.
Okay.
And they had a great article, which was pretty backed up by a lot of others, The Cookie That Best Represents Each State.
Oh.
So I thought this would be a good one to go through. Now, I want the audience to jump in on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
2600. Forget about the article. Forget about what I'm, anything else I read. You out there, wherever state you're calling us from, mm-hmm. what state do you feel what cookie do you feel should represent your state?
Mm-hmm.
To our Wisconsin people out there, what cookie do you think? You know, any other, we got some listeners in Florida, we got some listeners out in Illinois and California. Reach out to us, 424-2600. What cookie do you think best represents your state?
And what do you think makes it the state? Is it the one that's the most popular, or is it the one that contains, you know, like agriculture that's grown in your state?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, cranberry, like a craisin dark chocolate chip cookie for Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it would be perfect for this area.
Yes, that does.
Especially right after our Cranberry Blossom Fest.
Yes, nicely done. So if you Google Wisconsin State Cookie, chocolate chip is Wisconsin State Cookie. So why not combine the two? The signature Wisconsin State shaped cookie capture the best of both. So they have a they have a picture of a cheese cookie kind of thing, and then a just regular chocolate chip cookie.
You know, you mentioned this article, or that we were going to talk about this last week. I visited Cloverdale at some point last week. I believe it's an Amish store, Amish or Mennonite, like bulk food store, outside of Colby and or Custer. No, that's wrong too. Anyway, it's over there somewhere.
We got you. We know what
they
you're
had
about.
A Wisconsin shaped cookie cutter.
Oh, nice.
I almost bought it for you, but I know you don't actually bake.
Yeah. It's for the better for everybody that I don't bake. Like, we're lucky I can cook. Baking, I use all my patience on children. I have none patience.
None for measuring?
None. Looking at this, Nestle Toll House was able to determine the cookie that best represents each state. So, for one, keep that in mind that Nestle had to do with this article.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Nestle. I love their products, but...
But there's a lot of their products involved.
Probably, yeah.
And, you know, more power to them.
We don't have to go through all 50 states, but like Alaska, they have Russian tea cakes.
Ooh,
that's interesting.
Those are good. They're covered in like powdered sugar and they kind of melt in your mouth. They're really good.
Man, anything with powdered sugar on it, I will eat it. If it is a boot, I would probably eat it if it had powdered sugar out of it.
You know, you mentioned boots a lot. Do you have like this thing about your deep fried boots and powdered sugar boots?
Yeah. You know how it's not new, but they've been doing it forever, where it'll be a cake, but it's not. It doesn't look like a basketball.
Right.
Yeah, but you can chop it up and eat it like a
cake. Cut into it and it looks real.
Somebody's going to do that with a boot. Somebody's going to do that.
Somebody should do that.
I keep walking into it. I ask it. I'm doing it to myself. Arizona, Mexican wedding cookie.
Yeah, those are good too.
Yeah, I like those. I see a lot of peanut butter and chocolate chips for Arkansas, California, chocolate chip with nuts for Colorado, chocolate chip for Connecticut, Delaware, a lot of them. Florida, orange. Just orange.
Orange.
Just orange. Okay.
Well, I mean, they do grow a lot of oranges.
Oh, yeah.
My grandma used to make lime cookies and raspberry cookies. And she made them so they were like red and green. She made them for Christmas time, but I really liked them. They were made with Jell-O. That's how they got their color and their flavor.
I like that. Let's see. Hawaii has white chocolate macadamia nut cookies.
Of course.
It's my mom's favorite cookie. Idaho, traditional oatmeal chocolate chips.
Yum.
Here it gets a little interesting. Illinois, chocolate chip. Minnesota, chocolate chip. Michigan, chocolate chip. Wisconsin, chocolate chip. I don't think you can have that. I don't think with
the
rivalries.
All of us can be the same cookie.
With the rivalries being what they are and everything, I find that kind of funny.
I don't know, but now I want a chocolate chip cookie.
I do really want one. Kentucky, not to be outdone, bourbon spice cookie.
Ooh.
I would try that. Louisiana has the maple pecan. That's a good one.
Yum.
Maine, molasses. I forgot about molasses.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I love molasses cookies.
Yeah, me too. I don't get them. I don't feel like we get them very often, but
they're that right amount of tender chewiness.
Yeah.
Because they have that little bit of a bite to them. Not a crunch, really, but
but a bite.
Well, you were in my brain this morning. You're like, I can't put it into words. You're putting them into words. I'm just like, I like it.
Molasses, yum.
Yum. Maryland has chocolate chip with nuts. Massachusetts with cranberry.
Hey, there's the cranberries.
Yeah. Montana, a cowboy cookie.
Oh, Third Street Bakery in Duluth makes cowboy cookies, and they're amazing. But they also make monster cookies, and their chocolate chip cookies are really great. It's a little cooperative bakery, and they just make the most amazing cookies. Plus, they're, you know, not as big as my head, but they're bigger than they should be for one sitting cookie.
A cowboy cookie is basically a souped-up oatmeal cookie with chocolate chips, roasted pecans, and sweetened flake coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Former First Lady Laura Bush's recipe included 1 tablespoon of cinnamon. That made a little bit of a unique addition there. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'd try that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've had a cowboy cookie. I got to have one of these. That sounds awesome.
They're delicious.
I like that. New Hampshire has pumpkin spice. New Mexico with biscotti. Thank you, biscotti. And then New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, chocolate chip. Oregon's got pumpkin spice.
Oh, wow, I'm surprised that many with pumpkin spice.
Mm.
They must have done this list 20 years ago.
Yeah, actually 2018. So that bad. Texas cowboy cookie feels a little on the nose.
A little bit.
That's all right. That's cool. Washington apple cinnamon.
Mm.
And finally, I wanted to mention this one, West Virginia haystacks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
so
like, you know all
my,
these.
Okay,
wow,
well,
you know
my,
your cookies.
My high school girlfriend and I would get into arguments about what a haystack is. Because when I was growing up, a haystack is a salad where you got chips on the bottom and then you put beans on top of that and lettuce and tomato and cheese and sour cream and salsa or ranch dressing, you know, whatever you got.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, a haystack was a cookie. And it's like the Chinese noodles.
Chow mein noodles.
And then they're like clumped together and covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
And yeah. Nope. So we have this ongoing controversy about what a haystack is.
Nice. I like both versions.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize I was a big fan of these. I am. I've had these plenty of times. My mom used to
just
make them.
Just didn't know what they were called.
I didn't know. I had no idea. Yeah.
That cookie that's clumped and covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I eat it. I put it in my face.
Oh, I really do like that. It actually, now that I look at it, it does feel like a haystack. It does look like a little haystack. I like that. That's a good one. That's a great name. I'm a big fan of those cookies. Mm. Those are good ones. 424-2600. Doesn't have to just be this segment. You can call up anytime during the show. Heck, you can call up tomorrow and tell us your favorite cookie or whatever.
We love to hear from you.
Yeah, we just like hearing from you guys, so it doesn't mind. Yeah, you meant to call up yesterday, didn't have a chance. That's fine. Call up whenever you get a chance, 424-2600, and join the conversation.
And if you're listening on streaming on our new app, you can call us with one button.
That's it. We'll be right back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Got a little close to Mr. Winwood on that one. It's got out right away. Got right up. Just in time for Mr. Winwood to play us into the break here. Welcome back, everybody. 8:53 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. Going to take it right at the top of the hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we got some fun stuff we're going to get into. Looking forward to going over the, where is this here? The top things we miss about shopping malls.
Ooh.
That is how we're going to kick off the segment.
All right.
Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple of other fun things there that we're going to get into. We're looking forward to. The fast food places may be closing the whole no ice loophole. We're going to talk about that a little bit and see where we're at. But we got another one of these stories, Melissa, that we, you know, it's not as if you and I have been doing this show together for 10 years, but I feel like we've done like 80 of these stories already in the short time.
Okay.
About librarians, you know, getting a book back 45 years later or something like that. Librarians in Illinois said that they were surprised when a book returned by an anonymous patron was found to be 43 years overdue.
Wow.
Niles Main District Library said the book, The Moons of Jupiter by Margaret Wetlerer, was returned to the after-hours drop box, and librarians attempting to check the book back in discovered that it had been due back January 19th, 1980. I like the idea of bringing the book back on the day, like January 19th, but 2020. 33.
Okay. Yeah.
Quote, based off the fine schedule from 1980, the patron would owe the library $316.66. The library said in the Facebook post, luckily, we've been a fine-free library since 2020.
Nice.
Library officials said that they do not know who returned the book or originally checked it out, as their current record system doesn't go that far back.
Wow.
I'd like to mention that our own Macmillan Library also has gone into a no-fine thing. Mm. Treat that with some respect when you are renting these items, when you are borrowing them. They are not yours. Mm-hmm. Return them in a good place and in good pieces so other people can use them.
And I don't know if that covers everything. I think there's still, like, for movies that can still...
I just books. Just books. I know.
Right.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. And it's really great that libraries are able to do that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, you just got two chapters left and you got to finish it. But, you know, a lot of them have made renewing your library book very easy. You can do it through the app on your phone. You can call the library and renew it sometimes over the phone. If there's nobody waiting for it, they're happy to do that for you. Libraries are amazing.
They really are. They really are. And the best way to show your appreciation for them is to treat these items with respect, return them when you can.
And utilize the services.
Yes.
You know, download the Libby app on your phone, because even checking out a book through your phone, through your library, helps your library.
We have a lot of great smaller libraries in Nakusa and Port Edwards,
in Vesper,
in Rome. We, of course, got a great library in Stevens Point. Mm-hmm. I've gone to many times in my life. My daughter goes to all the time. And obviously our own Macmillan Library. And wherever you're listening, you've got a... I know growing up, the library in Naperville, oh, God, it's such a cool building. It's older and it's interesting. And it's just, oh, that's so many great stuff
in there. The library in Toma is also a really cool old building that just, it looks... And Sparta, too. They look like libraries. I don't know. It's just a certain look to them that is a nostalgia factor for me.
I think I'm on the same page. I think same page. I did. Part of the reason I bring this up, though, is since we're getting an abundance of this now, we're getting more and more of these stories. Do we need to come up with something better for a quote punishment? Obviously, like, libraries are going away from, like, quote punishment things,
right?
But something that kind of like tongue in cheek punishment. I don't mean anything truly serious, but they got to read to kids for like 3 days a week or something like that. I think there'd be fun ways to kind of do this as opposed to having fun with it while also promoting libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason they share these stories is, hey, we're talking about a library. Mm-hmm. It got us talking about libraries.
Well, and books are cool. And the history of books is so cool. Like, I love... So we don't have... You know how library books used to have the card in the back where they'd, like, punch out the date on it?
Yeah.
And they didn't always necessarily include the name, but I really liked being able to see the date of every time that book had been checked out and read.
Me too.
So it was like, it was a record of all of the people who had touched that book and gotten the knowledge and the story and enjoyment from that book. We don't do that anymore with those records right in the books, but old libraries still have those old cards in there, because why would they take them out? I mean, that would be a chore.
It seems like it.
But it's still cool to see those and just touching books. I don't know.
I'm with you.
Books are cool.
There's nothing like having a book or a newspaper or something like that in your hand. The city of Wisconsin Rapids announced its Independence Day celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, July 4th, one of the best fireworks displays in the area will be launched from the Wisconsin River in downtown Wisconsin Rapids.
Woohoo!
The display will begin at approximately 9:30 at night and may be viewed along the most of the riverbank and downtown area. You can also get a good spot near the Grand Avenue Bridge or south of the Moravian Church.
Mm-hmm.
The DJ Entertainment Engines will start playing music at 6, and the national anthem will be sung by Don Johnson immediately before the fireworks show begins. Food and refreshment vendors will be located on West Grand Avenue and 2nd Street South. Wisconsin Rapids City Band will perform outside of the Centralia Center from 7 to 8. The fireworks show relies upon donations from citizens and businesses, and donations are still being accepted. You can go to wirapids.org/donate to be able to do so. wirapids.org/donate, or by giving the finance department a call at 421-8233, 421-8233. If you're planning to attend this event, please consider no tarps, blankets, or chairs may be placed on the riverbank or in any city park before 6 on July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Any article placed before 6 will be removed. 6 a.m. will be removed. No parking allowed on 2nd Street South between East Jackson Street and Meade Street. And boaters, please be safe out there. Boaters, there will be a safety zone established for you there. Mm-hmm. We'll get more into the details of this as we get into next week. Later in the week,
I will see closer.
You. Yeah, but we got a good 4th coming up.
Oh, we do. And if you can, get down quickly to the community blood drive at the East Junior High School Music Room. They're going on at 10 o'clock. They're starting today.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be talking more about that at the end of next hour, coming up on the morning show here at WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.